time in the book of Proverbs. As many of you likely know, I'm an educator, and the school season is fast upon us, starting next week across the island. And so I do like to spend a little bit of time in the book of Proverbs as at the beginning of each academic year, just to remind myself, I think, from God's best textbook on education. And in particular, the book of Proverbs, I think, reminds us exactly what God wants for us and for our children, for our families, when it comes to education. So I've been spending some time in here, and I just want to just draw your attention to just a few thoughts in Proverbs chapter 3. We are in dangerous territory because I have zero clue how much time I have up here, and I irresponsibly did not ask anyone. So who knows how long this could be, but maybe who knows how long how short it could be as well. So we'll see how it goes. Oh, wow. Okay, 20 minutes. I can't do it. It was going to be 40. All right, I'd like you to look at verse 13. We're going to read from verse 13 to 18 of chapter 3 together. This is the word of the Lord. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. I love thinking about love reading through the book of Proverbs, and obviously there's lots of little nuggets of truth that are so lovely. The first three chapters, of course, are an introduction to what Solomon is going to cover throughout the course of this book. And in these three chapters, he is essentially giving us the thesis for what it is that we should want as people and why we should want it. And what we should want, of course, the theme of this book is that we should want wisdom. And he then spends, in particular, he spends chapter 2 and 3 talking to us about why we should want it. Now, when I was reading this, there was just a couple of things that the Spirit brought forward to my attention. As I was reading this, I thought, I don't want the things that I'm supposed to want. You know, when I look at the things that are listed here, and in particular, we're looking at verse 13 to 18, there are things on offer that are not things that I spend my days thinking about. And in fact, it's actually the opposite. The things that I spend my days thinking about are those things that wisdom is not about. And I just want you to look at, we'll just go through a few of these, and in particular, I do want to focus on verse 16. But look at verse 13, as we work our way through. It says, blessed is the one who finds wisdom. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom. And of course, through these first three chapters, Solomon has been talking about wisdom, so this is no surprise, but blessed is the one who finds wisdom. And you have to stop and ask yourself, is that the thing that you are trying to find? Are you and I, in our day-to-day life, are we trying to find wisdom? I can't say that that's necessarily something that I spend a lot of my time focused on. You know, when I think about life's pursuits, and you think about what we are, we sort of generally as a culture, what we're talking about all of the time, the word wisdom doesn't come up very often, does it? I mean, I think about wanting to have a good job and a nice home. You know, I want to have relative comfort. I don't want things to get too difficult. I want to be able to afford the things that I want, and I want to be able to travel to the places I want to travel. I want to be able to eat the food that I want to eat, and I don't want to have to pay any of the consequences for it. And I want the credit card bill to go away, and then maybe, live long and healthy to the end of my days, doing all of those things. I think it would be fair to say that that's more or less the narrative of the society that we live in. And you and I, by nature, we slip into that, don't we? But we're reminded here that this is not the focus of someone who is oriented towards God and towards the truth. The focus of someone who is a believer is that they are pursuing wisdom. This is a higher level. Of course, all of these things that I mentioned previously, the things that I think our society are sort of grappling for, and you and I, we slip into it. Those things are just, they're base level, right? That's immediate physical needs. And of course, those things do need to be met, right? If you don't drink enough water, you know, after 3 days, things aren't good, right? You do need those things. But I think that sometimes we spend an inordinate amount of time and energy and attention focused on the things that we don't actually need overall. Wisdom is what Solomon says that a blessed person should be looking for, and understanding. Notice in verse 14 that the gain from wisdom is actually better than the gain from silver, more profitable than gold. And that hurts. That's a bit of a contrast to the things that I find myself struggling for day after day. I do find myself striving for silver and for gold, and I don't find myself prioritizing those things that are greater than that. Verse 15 also compares this to being that wisdom is more precious than jewels, and also that our desires don't compare with attaining wisdom. Now, this hurts as well. Of course, you know, similar to silver and similar to gold, these are things that I strive for, that I want, that catch my attention, the jewels and the gold and the silver of this day. Now, I mean literally, striving for that paycheck or striving for that better job or a higher salary or a bonus or those kinds of things, but also figuratively too, right? Like those things that are shiny and attractive in this day and age. Those things that people look at and say, that guy's got it all. The scripture says that those things are worthless compared to what it is that God actually has to offer. And that is, in fact, wisdom. Now, looking at verse 16, this is really the verse that got me thinking about the fact that I think that I am not desiring, or I don't want the things that I'm supposed to want. Notice what it says here. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. And I'd like to unpack that a little bit, because these words have some connotation to them. Long life is in her right and is in her right hand. Now, the idea behind this, long life, is referenced many times in the book of Proverbs. It is associated with a life characterized by wisdom. But it isn't just a quantitative number of days, like you will live to be 101. The idea is that it is a full life, that it is a full life. I can think of many people who live out many days, who have long lives, but are miserable, have made terrible choices, have not honored the Lord, have not followed after the Lord and what he desires for them. That's not a life of wisdom, and that's not a life that comes with full days. I was talking to my grandmother, who goes to the assembly in Moncton, and she was talking about one of the brothers there who is 101, and he has a legacy of his children and his children's children and his children's children's children following after the Lord Jesus. That is a full life. But do we focus on those things? Is that our priority day to day? This is not new to you, but it's just a reminder that this is what tomorrow is about. It's about a life of faithfulness to the Lord. And so this is what a full life looks like. Notice what's in her left hand. Of course, she's offering both of these things. Her hands are full. Notice there's nothing else. It's long life. It's a full life. And then in her other hand are riches and honor. The word for riches is really this idea of wealth. Now, when you and I think of wealth, in our modern capitalist society, I'm not dissing capitalism, but we are in a capitalist society, and we are always talking about the bottom dollar. That's what we're thinking about when we think about wealth. But when Scripture thinks about wealth, it's a much more fleshed out vision. You know, when you think about a pew filled with children, or you think about, a table at home that is surrounded with laughter, these are things that characterize wealth. These are things that matter more than the dollars that are in my bank account. Now, Scripture does not look poorly on having wealth, and in fact, the Lord Jesus encourages that we should be generous givers with all that the Lord has blessed us with. And so I imagine that riches accompanies financial stability as well. But just a reminder that this is a fuller picture. The other thing that is in her left hand is honor. And this was the thing when I read the word honor. I thought, that is an old word. That is a word I have to look up. When you think about, like, what is it? Do you wake up in the morning and think, you know what I would really want? I want a good cup of honor. That's what I want this morning. I don't know. Like, that is not something that I think we've talked about in a really long time. And, you know, I think about, like, you know, I've been a teacher in many different schools. And, like, there's no spot on a report card for honor, that's for sure. And I don't know how many homerooms we've talked about honor. I'm talking from an education standpoint. And that's just like talking about, you know, like the narrative of our culture, right? And so, like, I didn't grow up thinking about what honor looked like. I don't know about you. Is that a word that really kind of resonates with you? Is that something that you want? That's a great question, isn't it? Like, what is honor, actually? I did have to look this up. I would recommend to you a dictionary. It's called Webster's Dictionary, not Merriam-Webster's Dictionary. This is different. This is Webster's Dictionary. I believe it's 1864. Is that... anybody back me up here? No. Webster's Dictionary, the original, Noah Webster's Dictionary. This man, in his definitions, he includes Scripture. You gotta get this dictionary, and I recommend buying a physical version, because if you have the app like me, you know, they're going to change the definitions on you. Just, they're going to slip. But definitions of words are changing all the time. It's nice to have something that's strong and stable and something that's saturated in the Word of God. Webster's Dictionary has 10 different definitions for the word honor. So are we going to narrow it down? I'm not exactly sure. But to summarize the first three, I would say this, that honor is like an exaltation. It's a lifting up. It's a lifting up. He said, well, that doesn't seem like that lines up with the Christian life. You know, like when we talk about, like, what about pride? Pride is something, you know, you lift themselves up in pride. Well, that doesn't sound very good. Well, no, I was actually thinking of a couple of different examples, and this is, these points actually come from a conversation with Brian Taylor when we were talking about this word honor. And we were thinking about, no, actually in Scripture, when people are honored, they are honored by God. God is the one who lifts people up. And two examples that came to mind were Joseph. You remember Joseph, of course. He was a man who was at the very bottom. Like, he was literally in a pit. We talk about, you know, metaphorically maybe being a pit in our own lives. But Joseph himself was in a literal pit. And it was God himself, after steady and consistent faithfulness, I'm sure, many doubts, you know, many concerns, maybe Job-like experiences, not necessarily recorded for us, but I'm sure in the darkness of that pit, questioning, why God? Why me? Why now? Why this? And yet notice what the Lord did with his consistent faithfulness. He raised him up. I'd say the Lord gave honor to Joseph by taking him from the pit and making him second in command. So God gives that, and that's a good thing. And this is what comes in the hands of wisdom. And so striving after wisdom, desiring for wisdom, pursuing wisdom, which, if you notice in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, very briefly, of course, we can flesh this out, but we don't have enough time. But where does wisdom come from? It comes from the Lord, right? The Lord gives wisdom. And the Lord gives wisdom through many ways. He gives it through his word. He gives it through his spirit. He gives it through the natural world around us, which you see in verse 19. So wisdom comes through all these ways, but it comes from the Lord. And so a life of pursuit towards being a wise person, knowing truth and knowing how to implement it in your life, is a life that comes with being exalted by God. Now, the funny thing is that a wise man doesn't pursue that, do they? A wise man pursues humility. Like, a wise man is okay being in the pit. And God says, well done, faithful sir, I lift you up and I'm going to put you in a place of honor. The second person that I thought of was Moses, right? Moses is a man who is characterized by wisdom. Of course, he's not a perfect man. He was a man it would be fair to characterize him as a murderer in that in vengeance and in anger he killed a man. And then God takes him down to pretty close to a literal pit, but it is, metaphorically, takes him into the desert, right? And he lives there for 40 years, but he lives a life of faithful consistency. I think a man who in those times likely had sweet communion with the Lord, and a man who knew the heart of the Lord, right? And a man who probably spent a lot of time in prayer in the desert. That's what deserts do. That's what pits do. A man who I would say was a wise man. And what does God do? He takes him and he makes him the leader of his chosen nation, of his chosen people. He honors him. He gives him honor and lifts him up. Moses didn't seek it out. In fact, he rebelled against it. He pushed it away. He said, I don't want that. Give it to my brother, Aaron. I can't. This is not for me. And God says, no, I am going to honor you. And that was because of his pursuit, not of earthly treasures. In fact, Hebrews reminds us about where Moses' heart it was, right? It wasn't for the wealth and the riches and the power of Egypt. He forsook those things. And yet because of that, that was a pursuit of wisdom. And the Lord took that and he honored him. Now, I don't know necessarily that, you know, your or I pursuit of honor is going to make us, we're not going to become co-premier or whatever the fancy words that they have here. I'm not promising us fancy positions in our day and age, but the Lord does give honor. And my question to you is, do you desire that? Is that something, do you want to pursue after honor? I would encourage you, want that. Want that over the flashy, false, failing things that our world has to offer in this day and age. Now, I just want to point out one last thing. Notice in verse 19, it says that the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. And there's a lot of people who have written on this, a lot of commentaries who make this connection. But of course, we know in Colossians chapter 2, who founded the earth? Who established the universe? Well, it was the word of God, the Lord Jesus. And so I think the Lord Jesus, ultimately, he is wisdom. And so as we pursue this, an idea, a concept of wisdom, we are actually pursuing a person. And I think it works the other way around. Our pursuit of the Lord Jesus is also, coincidentally, a pursuit of a life of wisdom. And so I just wanted to encourage you in these things. Want the things that God wants for you. Don't want the things that the world tells you to want. Want the things that the Lord tells you to want. Want wisdom. Want a full life. Want honor. These things, and a life of pursuing them, the Lord will give. May he bless the word.